Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
The title of today's message is, Can You Dig It? Go in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3. We'll start at verse 9. These were a couple kings that were getting ready to go up and basically take this one king that was doing some really bad things out. So that the kings gathered together, it was about three of them, and they said, you know what, let's go up to this other king and take him out because he's doing some really, really bad things, and we fight for God, the one true God. Verse 9, all right? So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, these three kings, and they marched around about 7 days to go and do something and bring justice to people that were being harmed. And there was no water for their army. And there was no animal, there was no water for the animals that followed them. Underline, there was no water for the army. Then in verse 10, and the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord has called us three kings together to deliver us into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on our hands. And Elijah, verse 14, Elisha speaking, and he said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely or not I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I will not look to you nor see you. But right now, bring me a musician. And then it happened that the musician played that at the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Well, let's understand what's going on here is they're going on to pursue a call upon their lives. And they mount together as brothers and kings. And we're going to do something that God has called us to do. But we're going, and after 7 days, we realize that there is no water. What does water represent to a physical body? Life, nutrients, sustenance. They say you can live, I don't know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I know Dr. Dore, you may know. But how long can somebody live without food? How long? Do you know? No? Does anybody know how long somebody can live without food? Grandma's 39 days. I'm trusting you because you're over 80 years old, so that just qualifies you from the jump. And you're my grandmother, so I trust you. But so about 39 days, right? But then water, for a body to go without water is how long? It's 3 days. That's what I thought. So a body can go. That's why Jesus could fast for so long without food, right? You can fast. You cannot take food for about 39 days or 40 days or whatever it is. But then your body can't go without water for about 3 to 4 days, which means that water is extremely vital to your existence to be able to do anything. So they have run into a problem. Because are they pursuing the will of God for their life? Yep. Are they working towards a dream that God has given them? Yep. Are they in unity? Absolutely. So how come a problem arises? When a problem arises, I don't think you should be asking, why is it here? Or how did it get here? You should be asking, how do we overcome? And who is here that can help us to hear from the voice of God? They ran into a difficulty where the animals and the people, and think about it, for 7 days, you know people are tripping out like, for real? Because we're on this journey and we don't have any water? This guy's lost his mind. I'm turning back and I'm leaving. And some people probably like, no, wait. But God called us to do this. Yeah, but we don't have any water. Yeah, well, we don't see any water. I know. But bro, listen to me. My man, listen, you don't understand. There is no water. Look, there's no water. We've been marching for 7 days and there's no water. So I'm going to turn back because I can't physically see what's supposed to be here. That's why God has called a leader to be in your presence, because a godly leader steps up and says right here, they said, who is around that is a prophet that can speak to us and tell us what God has to say. How many of us, we're walking in the call of God for our lives, we're pursuing the dream, and something comes up on the road that we need that we don't have? And how many of our responses is, you know what? I don't see the provision. I don't feel it. I don't taste it. I don't see it. And I'm struggling. So as a result, God may have called me to do this, but I'm going to turn back because it's easier. And I want the path of least resistance. I'm going to go back where everybody else went because it's easier. And there's very few that press forward because they see something. Like Christopher Columbus was searching for America, or he was searching for some land. And he looked and he told his men, do you guys see? Do you guys see land? They said, no. And he came back to them day after day. And he said, look, Marie, don't you see? You see the land? I'm like, dude, you've had way too much whiskey because I don't see any land out here right now. You're hallucinating. And he said, the reason that you don't see land is because you're not looking with your internal eye of vision. I'm telling you to look through the eyes of faith and see land. And that's what these guys did. They said, where is somebody that can speak to us on behalf of God? Because right now, in this circumstance in my life, I don't know what to do. And you think, you know, I believe that that is the greatest point as I've been living my 31 years on this earth. I have really learned that the best position to be in is a position where you don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, a guy like me that analyzes everything and tries to figure everything out, it's the best position for a guy like me to be in. It bothers me, yes. It's uncomfortable, yes. But like my mom was saying, I'm now getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's okay if I don't know how it's going to work out. But you know what I have to know is that it will work out because I have to trust God. And so not knowing what to do is great. Some of y'all are like, oh, God, that feels so good. So I don't have to figure this out. No, because God said that your steps are ordered. So why are you trying to figure out your meal and place your own order when God's already placed your order? Just go talk to him and see what he's ordered for you and stop worrying about it. So when you don't know what to do, it's a great place to be in. Why? Because at that point, you have two decisions that you can make. One decision, you can say, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to try to figure it out myself. I'm going to go talk to everybody else, and I'm going to go do what I think is best, try to figure this whole thing out. Or you can do what these guys did, and they said, who is here that can speak to us on behalf of God? We're in a greater covenant where God says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Whatsoever things you ask from me, believe that you receive it in my name and I will give it to you. In James chapter 1, let a man that lacks wisdom ask of God who gives liberally without reproach. God, everyone thinks it's got to be some flowery prayer. God, it doesn't. God, I don't know what to do. Why should I dare? It doesn't have to be, what doest thou with saith to me? Whereth shalleth thieth goeth? Oweth lordeth. Faith is what gets it done. Jesus is spitting on dudes' eyes and getting them healed. That's a little unorthodox to belief and what we do in custom. A lot of people are like, how do I talk to God, Pastor Tommy? How do I get close to his mouth so I can smell the Altoids on his breath? And I'm like, he's right there the whole time because he whispers to you and he speaks to you. And it's not really how you say it rather than the faith that you put behind it. When he came up to the guy at the pool of Bethesda and the guy wanted to be healed, he had been in that infirmity for 38 years, he didn't say, now, let me give you a 10-step program on how to get this done. He said, just rise up and walk. It threw the guy's mind completely off. The reason being is because if you're going to operate with God, you walk with him through your heart, not through your head. You make decisions with your heart and not your head with God. So the guy automatically eventually gets up after he doesn't make any excuses and he's healed. Why? Because God is, he's speaking to his heart. So some of you guys are at a spot in your life where I don't know what to do. Good. You qualify. You qualify to be led by the Holy Spirit. Moses had an anger problem, didn't know what to do, didn't know how to handle one of his people being misused. So instead of saying, God, what shall I do? He had an anger problem, goes and murders the guy, hides it, and the next day is talking to somebody, and they're like, hold up, like, why are you talking to us? You just, like, took this dude out, and you covered it up. But yet God still uses him to lead the children of Israel. Why? Because God is a God of second chances, and God is a God that knows the plan for your life, and he knows the mistakes that you're going to make, and he says, hey, look, I'm not done with you. As a matter of fact, I'm just getting started. Where one season ends, another season opens. So God, what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I speak to? And I think it's interesting because as Elisha the prophet is speaking, he says, now bring me a musician in verse 15. Then the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said in verse 16, the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. That word ditches, when you look it up, means water canals. Number one, why are we bringing a musician, Lord, when we're trying to hear from you? And I need water. There's no time for this. There's no time to bring in somebody with an instrument. There's no time to do something that goes against what natural mindsets think. I need something, and I need it right now. I had this conversation with someone the other day. I said, the problem with us sometimes is that we try to take society's mentality into God's kingdom, and we strike out every time, and we wonder why. We blame him. What I mean by that is patience is like a curse word to some people. Patience, what? No, I don't want to wait. And a lot of people think patience is waiting, when patience is not waiting, because you're going to have to wait anyway. Patience is how you wait. It's the attitude behind how you wait. If I'm telling my son, you're going to wait to play the video game when we get home, which I did tell him when he was here earlier, so I'm sure he's in children's church and he can't wait, because he's already telling me, Daddy, I'm going to trade Michael Jordan to the Clippers, and then I'm going to put Tony Parker on the team. He's already thinking in his head. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to use my team, and I'm going to beat you, right? So he can go downstairs. That's the time. He can go downstairs, and he can just be like, oh, my gosh, why aren't we playing right now? Daddy, hurry up and preach. Hurry up and get these people out of here so we can go home and play the Xbox. And what if he's coming up here and he's just yelling at me and he's like, hurry up. Come on. Let's go. He's going to have to wait anyway because this is not going to be rushed. We'll play it at the set time, at the set date that I've set for us, at the appointed time, at our appointment. That's when it's going to happen. So no matter what you do, Tommy, it doesn't matter. You still have to wait. But right now, you're not exercising patience because you have a bad attitude with the way that you're waiting and you're dishonoring me. That's not patience. Patience is, I tell you to wait. You don't bother me about it. You don't have an attitude. You're downstairs in children's church playing with your cousins, Caitlin and Jaden, and you're having a good time. You're not even stressing. You're just probably kicked back on one of the chairs like, yep. My dad and I are playing video games when we get done. No need to rush because he said it and it's going to happen. And I trust him. So all of my emotions just got to simmer down. Like, yeah, 7-year-olds are really going to say that. But for all practical purposes, to say this, I master my emotions and my emotions don't have mastery over me, right? But he's not tripping. And we get home and he's waiting and we play. And I say, Tommy, I appreciate you waiting patiently. So as a result, I'm going to give you an extra treat because you're obedient. Here's a popsicle. Let's do this. So what I'm saying is we're going to have to wait for things in our lives anyway. God has a set appointed time for things to come forward in our life, dreams to happen, relationships to cultivate, all of that stuff. And he's telling you to wait. You've prayed for it and you're waiting. You've prayed for it and you're waiting. But you wake up every day, God, for real, because I thought the water was going to be here already. So why isn't it here? Why is it taking so long? And he's like, it's only been an hour. Yeah, but Lord, I go to McDonald's and fast food and restaurants all the time. And I order stuff and it's with me in about a minute. Why can't you get on their level? Are you behind? Are you outdated? Like, are you on some type of dinosaur system? Why can't you hurry up like the world hurries up? And then he hits you with Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the perfect and acceptable will of God. My will for you is to develop patience, because see, you can get the end, you can get out to the end and get your reward, but if you don't get to the end without patience, then you don't get the double reward. The double reward is that you trust me and you honor me while you're waiting, so that when you get to the end, you not only get what you prayed for, but you've developed patience, so the next time that you have to ask me for something or go through a storm in a situation, you're waiting patiently, you're waiting like somebody that is resting and that is cool and that is not worried, because you have developed patience on the inside of me. This is for somebody right now, because it's not in my notes. God is telling you he wants to develop patience on the inside of you. Why? He doesn't want you flipping out, tripping out, worrying. It's going to come to pass. Chill out. But while you're chilling out, I need you to honor me. I need you to trust me. I need you to be not worrying and not stressful, because I need you to develop patience. And as you develop this patience, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He tells them, make this valley full of ditches. Well, God, why can't you just be like Noah and throw it out of the heavens and give us water? Why can't you do us like Noah? Are we not good enough? Make this valley full of ditches. In other words, dig a ditch. Can you dig it? Yes, you can. But will you dig it? Will you get past your mind? Will you get past your emotions and dig the ditch? The ditch represents preparation for what God is bringing to you. They needed water, so he said, dig a water canal. If they needed food and he told them to build a water canal, that's the wrong thing. God, some people think that God cannot speak to them specifically about their situation. He can. He speaks in specifics. He told Noah every dimension that he needed to build for the ark. He told them, dig a water canal. So my question to you, in the situation in your life that you're in, you come upon a problem and a circumstance that you don't know how to deal with, and it's been 7 days, and you need water for you and your family and for yours. God knows that you need clothes. God knows that their shoes are falling apart. God knows that you're making that hamburger helper stretch 3 weeks and it was only supposed to stretch a week. God knows that you have overdraft fees in your account. Your overdraft fees have overdraft fees. God knows. But keep tithing. Keep giving. Keep trusting. Keep giving. Keep trusting. Keep reading his word. Dig the ditch. What do you need? You need clothes? Go buy hangers. That's the ditch. Because when the clothes come, where are you going to put them? But I don't have any clothes, so why am I going to buy hangers? They don't have any water. He told them to dig a ditch. Can you dig it? You got laid off. God knows. But keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep beating the pavement and getting your resumes out there. Keep doing what God has called you to do. And guess what? As you build that ditch, something's going to happen. As you dig the right ditch, go buy what you need, for that it is what you need. If it's a job you're searching for, go buy a new suit. If it's clothes that your kids need, go buy some hangers. If it's food that you need, go cut out pictures of what you want. Dig the ditch. Trust God. If it's more money that you need, do something crazy and go open a new account. Go write a plan for that money. I need $10,000. Okay, what are you going to do with it? Because if it comes and God just spills the water out and you don't have a canal, it's going to waste. God doesn't waste. So whatever you need, if you need to go to college, go buy, check this out. If you want to go to college, go buy the university sweatshirt of where you want to go. You want to go to UCLA? Go do something as crazy as to dig a ditch, go into the UCLA store, go get familiar with the whole school, go talk to people as though you go there, go try to sneak into a class. You got to go date your dream.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.